Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Lynn, your co-host.
Let's secure for C and get underway. Bigger is not always better. Rather than blindly chasing growth, have you ever thought instead of defining business success on different terms?
Rather than mega startup success, perhaps you should work to make your business better, not bigger.
With this change in mindset and business growth, many entrepreneurs are prioritizing a rich life over riches.
This new class of business owners are fostering a unique breed of business that starts small and stays small. These entrepreneurs are a company of one.
And this class of micro businesses requires a unique set of skills and competencies, different than those that are required for larger home-based businesses.
Helping us to become an army of one is Paul Jarvis, author of Company of One. Greetings. Say hello.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming on our show.
So you're connecting in from beautiful British Columbia?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So you can see the mountains, get the snow if you want to, but you stay out of the snow down where you live.
Exactly. It's like Seattle weather. It's either rainy or sunny for a month.
It does sound beautiful, though.
Yeah, I went up there with the Navy a lot of times. It's a beautiful part of the world.
So, Paul, what are the traits of successful one-person business operations?
Yeah, so I think the first one is becoming profitable. I think that's important for pretty much every business.
There you go.
It makes sense.
That's a good way to get started. Get profitable.
Exactly. But I think for a company of one, it's figuring out how to become profitable as quickly as possible, because if you're not making money, you're probably spending your own money. So you have to figure out, like, what can I launch as small as possible and as quickly as possible to get to profitability as soon as possible. As well, getting things out into the market means that you can test the market. So when you have something for sale, you can see if somebody's buying or not buying, and then make decisions or make pivots to determine, is this working? Keep going. Is this not working? What can I do to change it to get back to, or to get to profitable status?
So it sounds like as a smaller, a micro business, you got a lot more flexibility. You can turn on a dime. Where the larger companies, they've got to kind of figure out what to do. So you need to capitalize on that advantage by testing things out quickly and making sure you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, iteration is probably the most important thing, especially when you're small, because like you said, it's faster and easier to pivot or to iterate.
Any kind of like particular mental traits as far as that are helpful for an entrepreneur vice the larger businesses, like a certain type of personality traits or anything that you found that are
for sure. Yeah, I think resilience is probably one of the most important things, and there's been research done on resilience and how it's more important than training or education. And I think resilience requires three things, and luckily, especially for me, they're not innate traits. They're things that you can work at and learn from. So the first one is accepting reality, because we're not in control of as many things as we think we are, especially in business. Things change all the time. Customers' opinions change. So understanding that we aren't in control is a good thing. The second thing is having a sense of purpose. I think that's very important for a business, a small business, or an entrepreneur, because if you have a sense of purpose, that's a good reason to have a business. Otherwise, it's easier to work for another company where you don't have to do as much work. So if you have a sense of purpose and you can kind of mold your life and your business around the life that you want, that's important.
And then if you're working like 18-hour days getting started, it's a little easier when you got a sense of purpose on what
Exactly. And then the third thing is just the ability to adapt, like we just spoke about, having the ability to pivot or to iterate and to kind of move as we need to. And you can do that quickly when you're a small business, for sure.
Yeah, I hear a lot of times that resilience is used in the term of grit, just having grit to get out there and, keep bouncing back. Let's talk a little bit more about the mindset, Paul. You know, you can't just follow your passion. What mindset will help you succeed as an army of one?
Yeah, I think that passion's good. I mean, passion's great for hobbies, but I think in business, you need to also take into account like what you're good at. And I think a lot of times we get confused that passion, what follows passion is mastery. And I think that it's the opposite. So I think mastery of a skill that's in demand, of a skill that you can use to make money, passion follows that. So I think if we lean on the things that we're good at or the skills that we have and that are in demand, then we can become passionate about them. It's like, I didn't plan on being a writer or an entrepreneur. I just did those things. And as I did them for longer and I did them for more, I've worked for myself for 20 years now, I've become more passionate about it. And it's more of a long-term passion. It's not just I want to play the banjo and then I get a banjo and 2 weeks later, the banjo sits in my closet for the rest of my life.
So I kind of hear this on passion. Passion is important, but you got to make sure you're channeling it into a passion that gets away from a hobby or something you're not all that skilled at, but that passion can translate into business success.
Yeah, exactly. It has to be something that's in demand. It's something that people want from you.
Paul, so someone decides to be a company of one. What are the particular leadership and management competencies for a micro entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think being able to, like I said, develop resilience, I think is probably the most important thing. Another thing would be figuring out how you can be autonomous, because I think a lot of us work for ourselves because we want the freedom to make decisions. We want to be able to be presented with a problem and then come up with our solution to solve it instead of being told, here's the problem, here's how you solve it, which is the way a lot of corporate works. Also, the trait of just being fast at, not being fast at working, but being fast at getting efficient with our work. Because I don't think, it's not really productive if we're working quickly, but working longer. I think it's more important if we figure out ways to get our work done and our tasks accomplished with efficiency. So I think speed is important, but efficient speed is the most important thing. And the fourth thing, I think, is simplicity. I think being able to consider what's the easiest way to solve a problem is, or the simplest way to solve a problem is the best, because then it's hard to keep in mind, if we have complex solutions to every problem, it's hard to remember those things. If I have to look at a 30-page report on how to do a process in my business, that doesn't feel very to me. So I think being able to come up with simple and more ingenious solutions is the fourth thing that I.
Is there something in people's brains or entrepreneurs' brains that just tends to make things more complicated sometimes? I mean, it seems like, just like what you were saying, you know, look for simplicity, and it sounds obvious, but sometimes we just mentally go down a road of making things more complicated than we need to, and you just can't do that as an army of one.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times people become entrepreneurs because we have big dreams and big visions. And I think that those things are fine, but I think we also have to be wholly pragmatic in that we can start small, and we can start with maybe not building the next Facebook, but maybe building something much simpler, testing, like I said, testing the waters with it, trying to build profitability in a customer base first. And you can always grow things later. And I mean, the book in this mindset isn't anti-growth. It's just determining whether or not growth makes sense, because sometimes it does. But sometimes it really doesn't.
Now, one thing when I was thinking about this show, it's like, you know, it's always, you're always like wearing all the hats as a small business owner anyway. But then when you go down to the army of one, the company of one, you're definitely wearing all the hats and you got to do everything yourself. So is there any kind of management advice you can give to, you know, freeing up the time? Like you said, you can't just work all night. Is there any kind of management tips you can give to run a company more efficiently as an army of one?
For sure. And I think the idea of company of one isn't to be taken in a literal sense. Just like Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week doesn't mean that you only work 4 hours and then you're done. It's more of like,
that'd we're be a dream.
About. Yeah, it's more of like a mental model to approach growth with a mindset to challenge it. So, I mean, even for myself, I have a 5-person business. It's still a company of one. Throughout the book, I talk about like Buffer and Basecamp and other companies who are like 30 to 50 people. I think what makes the most sense there, especially as you were saying from a management perspective, is what are skills that you want to foster and develop, and what can you outsource that makes sense? For example, I don't know how to file my own taxes. It's not a skill I want to foster, but I have a chartered accountant who does that. Same with legal stuff. I'm not going to write a contract because I'm not a lawyer, but I can hire a lawyer to do that, or I can hire somebody to edit my podcasts. It's more a matter of determining, like, what are you good at and what skills do you want to foster? And then for everything else, how can you just outsource those, or hire freelancers to do those, or hire people where you only have to pay them when you need them to do the work? My accountant isn't an employee of my business. I only need him once a year to file my taxes at the end of my year. So he doesn't need to be an employee.
Yeah, that's some good advice you're giving there. I mean, you got to find out what you can do, what you can outsource. There's so many like websites and self-help that you can kind of go down the road of doing things that, you know, could be dangerous and you need to find some help a little bit. But, you know, kind of moving on here, I'll talk a little bit more about the customers are important in any business, no matter, you know, what the size. But, Paul, you know, why are customers even more important for, you know, a company of one?
Yeah, I think too often businesses, especially high growth businesses, focus on acquisition over retention. And I think that's to their detriment because acquisition costs more and takes more time. It takes more time to get a new customer to know who your business is than to trust your business and to make a sale. Whereas with my business and with a lot of other businesses in the book Company of One, I talk about how you can build trust with a person once, and then if you keep making products that they like and you keep providing services that they like, then it's easier to sell to them a second time or a third time. I mean, more than half of my customers have bought more than one thing from me. And the sales cycle just keeps getting shorter and shorter every time because they know, oh, I like the product that Paul sells, or I like what Paul stands for. If he has a new thing, I can just yes or no. It's just a binary decision as opposed to like, well, what's in it for me? Like, do I trust this? Is this going to be a good product? So I think retention is just so much easier in the long term. Like, I would rather have a core group of customers buying things from me often than always trying to find new customers and new channels to get new customers and get determine new attention and find new ways to build trust with people. It's just too much work.
Yeah, I mean, I think I heard a rule of thumb that it only takes 20% of the effort to make to keep a current client happy and satisfied versus, you know, going out and acquiring a new customer so that, you know, that 20% is you know, good bang for the buck. But one of the things a smaller company, get your ideas on this, is sometimes you need to fire a client. I mean, I've done that before where, you know, you always want to have a customer focus, but as you get smaller and if some client is just taking up too much focus, that's something, it may be good to, you know, kind of look at it from a different perspective that maybe you need to whittle back. So that you're working on the client, you know, that core group that'll give you the most effectiveness for your business.
Yeah, exactly. Just because somebody pays you doesn't mean they own you.
Luckily, that's not. Oh man, there's a lot of clients out there. I wish they would be listening to that. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I fired clients as well. And I mean, it comes down to like, if it's not creating a win for both parties, it's not a good business decision to continue the relationship.
Definitely. Now, developing a brand image for a business is critical. Paul, why is it important for micro businesses to infuse the owner's distinct personality into products and company image?
Yeah, I think it's okay for businesses to have like a line in the sand or to stand for something, even in terms of like a feature set that you offer. And it's funny, I did a survey of my audience, I think it was about 2 years ago, and I got thousands of responses from it. And one of the questions I asked was, why did you buy something from me? Like I write business books, I teach courses, I sell software. Lots of other people do those things. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, why my stuff? And the overwhelming number one result was because they wanted to buy something from me. I think there's like 13 million books on Amazon. And so if somebody's looking for a business book, they have any number of choices. But if somebody knows me and gets to know me and my personality through my brand, through my newsletter, then they're going to want to hear my unique take on it, whether it's a software product or a book or anything else. And I found that was the number one result, is that people wanted to buy something from me because it was me who created it.
So you personalize that experience. Do you have any particular tactics that help you to personalize? And I bet social media has ongoing connections through social media play a part in that.
A little bit. I mean, definitely for me, it's my newsletter. And I mean, it's such a silly answer, but like I'm myself, whether I'm selling something or talking to somebody else in business, like I don't know how to pretend to be like a salesperson. I'm just like, if I'm selling something, I'm me selling something. If I'm writing an article, I'm me talking about a story in an article. People resonate with that, but it's only a certain number of people. Like, I'm not trying to please everybody in the world. I don't know how to do that. I also don't know how to market to everybody on the internet. But I know how to find that like one group of people who wants to pay attention to me, who wants to buy things from me, who will value the things that they buy from me so that they become repeat customers.
You know, you're hitting a real key point there, niches, the importance of niches. So I think of defining that niche is even more important as you're a smaller business.
Or yeah, smaller for sure. Company. It's easier to get attention from people who show up in the same places or who pay attention to the same publications or hang out on the same social networks, for sure. Yeah, you're right there.
Well, you know, Paul, transitioning existing customers into repeat customers is life or death for any company, no matter what the size. How can these entrepreneurs turn their businesses, these customers, into brand advocates, advocates for your brand?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of creating a win-win. So business is really serving other people. So if you serve them well and effectively, they're going to tell other people. Like when I ran a service-based business, that my main way of getting new referrals was word of mouth. I always made sure I would rather spend time making an existing customer happy than spending some time doing the work and then the bulk of my time doing marketing. If I spend most of my time making a customer so happy that they're going to tell everybody they know about me, then that becomes my unpaid sales force. And that's a beautiful, that's really a beautiful.
You gain some good leverage there.
Yeah, for sure. And people, you're basically building trust by proxy is what word of mouth is. If somebody trusts another person and that person says, hey, hire this person, you, again, you're shortening that sales cycle. So they just know that if I want to hire a web designer, then I'm going to hire this person that my friend said to hire because they trust this person. So I should trust this person too.
So they're kind of looking at you as a brand that they want to advocate for because it's working out well. But in effect, they end up becoming a sales force for you because referrals are so important.
Yeah, exactly. That's still the main source of income for the majority of businesses, big and small, is word of mouth. And you don't want to be on the other side of that when people are only talking about you because you've done something wrong. Because people are more likely to talk about you if you've not done what you said you were going to do or if your product doesn't fit their needs. So you have to work extra hard to make it do that. But it is possible and it is doable for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so you probably, it's important to be sensitive to what's going on and nip it in the bud, you know, when you get an indicator that there's a, you know, a dissatisfaction with one of your key clients.
Yeah, you shouldn't, like most of the time, I've heard so many stories of people just disappearing because they've done something wrong or they missed a deadline. If you can get out in front of that and you can just explain, like, this is why it happened, here's why it's not going to happen again, and you can show that with your actions, then you're going to mitigate the issues there for sure. But so many people don't do that. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody realizes that people make mistakes, you know, or whatever. And I think they appreciate the fact that you're stepping up to try to fix things.
For sure.
Paul Jarvis, this has been a great discussion on thriving as a company of one. Do you have any final points you would like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of on the topic of the book and what we were talking about, I think that it's more important to determine what you need than determine that you just need infinite growth. So I think if you ask, and growth isn't always bad, but I think if we ask ourselves, like, how much is enough? How will I know when I got there? And what will change when I do? Then we could just make much better business decisions for building a business that suits the life that we want to have. Because if we work for ourselves, we want to have a life that means something, that has a purpose. So I think that those things are ultimately important.
Let's build a better business life. Well, Paul Jarvis, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
To learn more about Paul Jarvis, visit ofone.co or our website for more information on guests.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more info, visit homebusinessmag.com. Or the expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.